Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to start this new study in the book of John. Move your servant, Lord, out of the way that you can have the freedom to say whatever to whomever. Thank you for the book of John, the gospel according to John. I pray that you will move me, that others may be taught, Lord. Those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us through this series. Those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. There's no greater blessing in all the world than to be able to stand for you, to see you through the eyes of one who walked with you, who touched you, who laughed with you, who cried with you. One that says it's not something or somebody I have heard about, but I have experienced. John, help your servant teach what he has seen, what he has heard, what he has learned, and what he has left us to do the same. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you heard an amen, what do you need to do? Make them feel at home, because you know they're visiting. The gospel according to John. Well, I guess we better do a little taste of overview. And it will be a little, because I'm in no rush to preach the book of John. We got to rapture. Can I have an amen? And Carl Payne missed the sensitivity this morning. We were praying. And then I know it was done in love and respect and honor. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Too bad I'm not obedient. He prayed this morning, Father, help Pastor Hutch that you will heal his body. Now, he was good right there. And that you would let him live unto a ripe old age. That was okay then. Then I thought, I am in a ripe old age. So he was praying I could go today. So change that prayer, bro. John was a ripe old age. You know, John is the only disciple of Christ that wasn't martyred. All the others was martyred, including the 13th apostle. Now, I'm not talking about Matthias. Matthias was chosen by the disciples when Judas hanged himself. I'm talking about the one Jesus chose, Apostle Paul. He was martyred. And I think he was martyred just before Rome fell. Not Rome, I'm sorry, Jerusalem. Right before Rome destroyed Jerusalem. And God kept him alive, the Apostle John. Anybody know why God kept him alive and didn't let him kill him? They tried their best to kill him, too. I mean, they cooked him in oil. That'll leave you with a couple of wrinkles. Amen. They tried to get him, and he survived. And then they took and sent him to Patmos, exiled him to the island. Anyone can tell me why John did not die when they tried to kill him? Hadn't finished writing the books yet. John not only wrote the fourth gospel, according to John, which I think was written somewhere around 85 to 90 A.D., a lot of people think he was on the island exile when he wrote it. I do not believe that at all. I studied, I looked, and I read. I think he was in Ephesus when he wrote the Gospel of John. Paul had established a church there in Ephesus, and John spent some time there. And while he was there, he looked at all the other writings that the other disciples had written and those that had influenced those of the four gospels. When they called John the fourth gospel, not just because it's the fourth gospel, it is the final gospel that was written of all the gospels. It was the number four book written: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And because John had seen, and because John had read, and because God, through John, had seen all the things that was happening, he went between each of the other three gospels and filled in all the blanks. And the first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic gospels. Synoptic gospels. In the beginning was the synoptic gospels. In the beginning was the whole aspect of God. In the beginning, all things began for mankind, but it had always existed. So they looked at Jesus as synoptic means similar. They are similar. How are they similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke? They are similar because they wrote about Jesus being man. He was a man, and that was his emphasis. And Matthew, who was Jewish, strong Jewish, wrote about him as being the true king of the Jews. And if you're going to have someone that's king, you need some proof that they are king. What's the best way to prove that they got royal blood? What? You got to have a lineage. So in the book of Matthew, you see all the lineage of Christ, proving that he was the king of the Jews. Now, Mark looked at Jesus Christ as a servant, the suffering servant. Now, I don't know about you, but back in history, especially in the black community, if I wanted to search for my family, I can only go back so far to look at human records. I can only go back to the early 19th, 18th century, because up to a certain point of that time, slaves was not even considered human. We was kept in the stock books with the rest of the animals. So who wants a lineage of the servant, the slave, right? So in the book of Mark, there is no lineage. Then comes Luke, Dr. Luke. Dr. who? Luke. He looked at Jesus as the perfect man. Pedigree upon pedigree. In the athletic realm, we call it a blue chip athlete. He's got it all. And if you're going to find a perfect person, you want to know about his parents. You want to know about his grandparents. You want to know about his lineage. So Dr. Luke, being a doctor, was very concerned about the whole healing of the body. Thus, you'll find more miracles in the book of Luke than any book anywhere. And he looked at Jesus as the perfect man, so you got to have a lineage. So if you get a little confused, John did not look at Jesus as a man. He totally looked at Jesus as God. God in the beginning. God. I think God always was, always is, always will be. I don't think there's a lineage for God. Can it happen? Amen. So if you can't remember, have a hard time remembering, just remember, lineage, no lineage, lineage, no lineage. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Lineage, no lineage, lineage, no lineage. The book of John. Written between 85 and 9 AD. John had four other books. The disciples that was the closest to John, to Jesus, excuse me, wrote most of the books or influenced most of the books in the New Testament. Jesus had 12 disciples. Inside the 12 were three. And inside the three was one. Guess who was the one? John. He was the disciple that was loved by Jesus. At least that's what he wrote about himself. And that's right, that's where it came from. John says, oh, Jesus loved me. And Peter got a little upset, remember, about that? When he was talking, when Jesus was resurrected. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and they turned around. Well, what about him? Peter looked at Jesus and looked at John and said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, well, what if I want him to live until I come back? You don't have to worry about that. You're not going to live that long, Peter. You're going to die and you're going to get crucified. I'm going to tell you how you're going to, oh, man. I bet Peter says, can I take that question back? The loved one, the loved apostle, John. And so since he was the closest, until Paul was brought on, he wrote five books. The Gospel according to John, 85 to 90 A.D. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which was written between 90 and 95 A.D., and he finished in 95 A.D. after finishing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, by a revelation of God, he wrote the book of Revelation. And if you're going to understand the book of Revelation, you got to understand certain things about the book of Revelation. One of the things you got to understand about the book of Revelation is how it's broken down. Chapter 1 of Revelation is the past. Chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation talks about the present. Us, where we are today. Us. There's the seven churches with those that have come over the period of time. No, the seven churches are the one that exists today. And only two of the seven pleases God. That's not a very good status if you're going to have a line of stores. Amen. And chapter 4 through 21 is the future in the book of Revelation. And understanding that, you can see and not get confused about what's going on in the book of Revelation. And when you can understand by in the tribulation period, you can't understand the tribulation period at all if you don't understand the bowls, the seals, and the trumpets. And that is very important to break down. So that's the same way with the book of John. You have to understand that in these 21 chapters, also in 21 chapters of the book of Revelation, isn't that amazing? There are 21 things you need to know about the book of John. You think this man thought about writing this book? You think he knew what he wanted to say and how he wanted to say it? And you want to think that he wanted to be a division of sevens? Anyone can tell me what the number seven represents? Represents God. John 1:1, in the beginning. Everyone thinks that Jesus Christ was quite a baseball fan. Can I have an amen? Somebody go, oh, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? It's pretty good, man, because he talked about from the beginning in 1 John 1. It goes all the way back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Now, if you really understand how it is, you would say it the way Jesus says it, right? Now, it's not in the beginning, it's in the big inning. What? Whoa, what? It's in the big inning. Did not Christ in the beginning create all things and hit a grand slam? Can I have an amen from somebody right there, baby? Bam! Most in baseball, it's over when you get to round the plate and touch first base. With Jesus, it's still going. Grand slam is still happening, and you don't have to go to IHOP and Denny's to get the grand slam. Oh, it's football season, isn't it? Oh, I got to hurry up, man. We got a game. Man, our God. The book of John. You got to break it down. You got to understand. There's 21 chapters, three sets of seven to break down and understand the book. And guess how the chapters are broken down? Out of 21 chapters, chapter 1 through 12, took 3 years to happen. 1 through 12 took 3 years. 13 through 18, now most commentary says 13 through 17. I don't agree with it. And since I don't have to agree with it, I can change it. I believe it's chapter 13 through 18 all happened in one night. 1 through 12, 3 years. 13 through 18, one night. 19 through 21 is about 44 days. That's how I've broken it down. I could be absolutely wrong. That's fine, but I'm not. Three sets of seven. Are you guys excited? Three sets of sevens. It's going to be absolutely amazing. First seven. There are only seven miracles in the book of John. Seven miracles. We're going to break those down next week. We're going to break down the seven other twos of seven, two groups of seven. All seven of those miracles in the book of John makes a point. The first three is about how to become a Christian. The fourth miracle in the book of John talks about how God used human instrumentation to help bring people to Christ. And the last three talks about how to walk with Christ after you become a Christian. Question, who are the only ones that saw all seven miracles as eyewitnesses? Who is that? Disciples. The disciples. He wanted the disciples to learn. John saw that. And thus God want us to learn what those seven miracles mean. There was also seven I ams in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am. We're going to break that down and go through it real quick. And third, there were seven eyewitnesses in the book of John. And if I'm not mistaken, even as an old athlete from Alabama growing up, 7 times 3 is 21. Amazing, the book of John. Man, you know we're running out of time. But we don't have another service, do we? We don't have nothing in the oven, do we, honey? Because it's going to be black when we get home. John, oh my goodness, folks. Someone talk to me. Someone say amen to the pastor. Give me some encouragement because I'm in love with Jesus Christ. You can talk about a lot of things, but it's hard to talk about anything greater than Jesus Christ. John sees it. John tasted it. John touched it. Saw it with his own eyes in the beginning when he started. Now, if you look back over there in Genesis, in the big inning that we talked about, I believe in a young earth. Can't hear you. I believe in a young earth. What I mean by young earth is it's not old. The earth is not millions of years old. I don't care what anyone tries to come up with. I think a little bit, maybe over 6,000 years. If you believe the creation, the earth was basically just a little older than Adam and Eve. Well, basically Adam, then Eve. So you go, wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, you know, science, carbon 14 method, all the data is going on with all the count. Really? Really? About six, a little over 7,000 years. That's it. They said, well, no, Pastor, there's a break in Genesis. Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 in chapter 1 goes, and the earth was void and dark and formless. So many of what I call the creation evolutionists, they want to put both worlds together, says that there is a break between verse 1 of Genesis 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1. Because God would not create void or formless the world. No, I don't believe there's a break. Well, how do you get an account for all these old ages they're coming up with? Very good question. I'm glad you asked. Can I answer that for you? Let me see how you get. Now, suppose you walked in here and Adam was in here and Adam was 24 hours old. Now, if Adam was 24 hours old, I don't know how you can walk in here. Can I have an amen? Wasn't nobody else around? But if he was and could show up right now, 24 hours old, you look at him, how many of you in here would say that Adam was a grown man, mature, and older than 24 hours? Wouldn't we all say that? When we look at him and go, whoa, the size of his body, maturity of his face, facial hairs, if not my son who had facial hairs at 2 years old. He's a real man. You look at the whole aspect of you, you say, oh, wow, he's got to be 30, 40 some years old or maybe older. He was an adult. So how can he get a digestive system that was mature, a respiratory system that was mature, a digestive system that was mature, a body that was mature, if he was 24 years old and you think 24 hours old and you think that he'd been here for years? You know why? Because God created him maturely. He wasn't created as a baby. He was created as a man, mature. But if you walked up to him, you would think and tested him, everything about him would have been mature. So when God created the earth, did he create it young or did he create it mature? So if you walked up to a rock after it was 24 hours old, dropped a carbon-14 method on it, 25 billion. Why? Because it was created mature. And praise be to God, I have just explained to you one of the greatest theological debates that have happened since the beginning of the church. You know how to answer it now. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Everybody know the chicken. And we also know that Noah was not black. Just being honest. Because if Noah was black, those two chickens never would have made it off the boat. See them chickens running between the animals, hiding in the corner. He's coming because shh. We're going to have some fried chicken legs tonight. Oh, bring that whale over here. Give me some oil. Woo, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I came out loud. Okay. Would have been so easy to understand in the beginning. God sent his son. They tell me that in the, most of the commentaries I've been, you know, reading, that's the last thing I pick up after I study. To see if God can show me some things that no one else has seen. It's just a gift that God has given me. I'm no genius. I don't have a lock on the word of God. It's just God gives me a different view sometimes than what other people say. And he wants to give you a different view. If you spend some time with him in the word, he really wants to reveal to you that maybe he hadn't revealed to anyone else some things. So I look in the Bible and I was reading and years ago, and it's still saying it today, that the key verse of John, the book of John, Gospel according to him, is chapter 1, verse 18. Turn with me there. Chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. Well, Pastor, that is a contradiction because we know that God allowed Moses to see him. No, God did not allow Moses to see him. No man can see God and live, it said. What God did, and most people think that he blinded Moses when he was in the cleft of the rock, passed by, and Moses looked out and saw his back. No, 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 no. When Moses stepped out, he saw the afterglow of God passing by. And it was so bright that it made Moses shine. Cool. Oh, Moses lit up like a Christmas tree just by seeing where he was instead of seeing him. I don't know, man. Oh, God's awesome. Can I have a minute? For the law was given by Moses, and it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. You got to admit, that's an awesome verse. Good verse. But I don't think it comes anywhere near the key verse of the book of John. Can I give you my key verse? You might as well say yes, because you're not going to get out of here until I do. Man, you guys like to stay in here. No one said yes. So, hey, man, let's keep on preaching. I could have closed out right now, but no, you want to suffer. Please turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. Anyone in here ever heard of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, come on. You didn't understand that verse, did you? You heard it so much, you've come tone deaf to it. John, what? Come on, church. Come on, church. I know it's warm in here and I want to get out of here too. John, what? 3:16. Oh, the greatest of all times. Greatest verse, if you break it down, has ever been written. The greatest truth that'll shake you up. There's nothing theological, doctrinal, anywhere that's deeper than John 3:16. Can we read it again? Let's read it again. Let me see if your pastor can help break it down for you. You ready? Let's read it. For God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest planet, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believe it, the greatest simplicity. Are you listening to me, church? In him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, eternal life, the greatest possession. That's John 3:16. And we're not talking about Muhammad Ali. We're talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my main man, my ace coon boom, my roll doll. Nothing better. There's only one thing I love better than talking about my wife. There's nothing but one thing better I love to hear my wife just laugh out loud. I mean, if nothing moves me, man, it's just for my wife just have one of those down, deep belly laughs. Just make her husband go. She's over there turning red. I got some more stuff I can say, baby. You know what I'm saying? My kids are going, stop! It's only one thing I like better. And that's my Lord Jesus Christ. To see him smile at those that are obedient. To see him get just a belly laugh out of your obedience and my obedience. Moves me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Are you guys going to drink coffee or you going to sing? Get the pals out up here before I start having faith bumps about my Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to learn about your Son, Father, who you have revealed through one of your servants, John the Apostle. There's nothing greater than we're going to ever study than the life about Jesus Christ being God. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, amen.